Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Challenge Dirty the Rap Butt podcast for episode 5. I am Ryan Cohn. Here with me today is my friend who's now been on here about 3 or 4 times, Dane. How many times has it been?
4 times?
4 times. Once a year, right? Once a season?
Once a season, yeah.
You're like not even like challenge vet. You're like real vet status now.
You could throw vet under my name now.
Yeah, well, you could throw anything under a vet name on this show. So, but you're a true vet. You got 4 times under your belt. You're a few more seasons away from basically becoming like a full time regular.
Yeah, I'm a little bit above Tony, still below bananas. That's my level.
At least you haven't gotten kicked out for violence yet. So you got that going for you.
Yeah, nor do I have 2 kids to take care of.
Another good thing going for you. So what are your thoughts so far? We usually, I feel like we usually do this later in the season when you hop on, so we have more of like a full season retrospective to catch up on. But what are your thoughts now 5 episodes in before we dive into this one? Just what the theme, the cast, any general thoughts you have?
Well, we're 5 episodes in?
Yeah.
It does not feel like 5 episodes.
No, it feels like 1.
I feel like I'm 2 episodes in right now.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's like the rumor on the street that this is going to be like an 18-episode season that's going to go for like the rest of the year. So I feel like everyone needs to just like buckle up and just brace for what we're in for.
That's a terrible decision. That's a horrible decision. I love the challenge, but God, this is garbage so far. The format's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it's going back to the days of when they actually had this many episodes, but they were each like a half hour. So now it's literally going to be double the content stretched out.
And, like, they actually drank back in the day and were interesting. Instead, I just hate all of them.
So you have no one? You're not happy to see Veronica back? You're not happy with Darrell being back? You're not happy with anyone?
Well, I was being a bit facetious about hating all of them, but...
I want to get some Veronica, love out of you. Let's get some love.
I do enjoy... I mean, Veronica pulled that shady move during the challenge. I enjoyed that, but... I don't know. I mean, it's cool that Jemmy's back. She's great for the confessionals. I'm not a big fan of her, but she does bring great drama to the show.
Yeah, Andrew Styles brought up a good point. He says, is Jemmy a perfect example of the need to give contestants a season or two off to keep them from becoming stale and having them come back more fiery?
Well, so, I think Camille is the perfect example of why you need to give somebody a season off.
Yeah, I agree. And I think someone who now, if they came back again, I think would be welcomed is Nani. I think Nani's now been off for a couple seasons. We got a little break, a little refresher. And I think, you know, Nani 8.0 or whatever this would be, I think it would be a fresh Nani.
You know who we really need back?
Ho.
Frank the Tank.
Yes, that would be great. I don't know. Do you think he'll ever like stop trying to be a real regular person and make the trip back? We're seeing all these former people come back.
Unless MTV backs up the money truck, I just don't see him coming back at all.
Yeah, I figured if he doesn't come back for like what's supposed like the big 30 season, I don't know why he would come back for like season 31 or season 32. So I think the Frank day and age is gone. But, you know, we got some other guys back. Jordan came back. So I think there's always hope, but got to take what we can get.
Yeah, plus we know we're not getting Kenny back either. So
no,
that's disappointing.
One of the people we did get back who actually started this episode, I should say, after being pretty non-existent for most of it is Veronica, and basically discussing about what it's like to kind of reindoctrinate herself with all these new challenge people. So what did you think the word Veronica?
I think the phrase you're looking for is kiss ass.
There we go.
I believe
it's not. What was the term? One of those Ashley coins.
Politicking.
Politicking. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's got a little lot going on.
Yeah, except with the females. So right. I don't know what that term would be.
I'm not even gonna go down that road. It's not gonna go. It's not gonna go well.
Territory.
Yeah. I'll leave those terms to Ashley. She can do that. But so we got a little bit of a Veronica confessional in the background. We see bananas like being bananas, stealing all the girls' tops when they're in the pool. Were you surprised? So who actually brought this up? Someone asked. Edward Morris, are you surprised that none of the girls made a bigger deal out of getting their tops taken in the pool? I thought this was leading to like a big fight from a classic bananas pulling a prank that goes too far. Were you surprised it kind of just flamed out as a joke?
I feel like they didn't care at all. You know, they were, I think they knew what was going to happen when they took their tops off in the pool.
I guess maybe it also helped that it happened maybe earlier in the day so the alcohol wasn't flowing as much. Because if this was like Amanda, she pops off when you move a toilet seat. So I think the timing and the people involved kind of helped this from being a calm scene.
definitely the people involved. We haven't seen Bananas antagonize any of the girls in the pool yet, so
yeah,
that doesn't hurt.
So Kayla now has to deal with the fact, well, at least very briefly, about being in a house without Jenna. But she makes like a huge deal that this is the first time ever. I mean, she's been on the show now like for a total of like 8 episodes. So it's not even that big a deal that she's never been without Jenna.
Yeah,
she's never been without most people.
That's not technically true either. She wasn't in a house last year with Jenna. They were in that shelter on the beach.
Well, was Jenna not in that? Because she was not.
No,
a champ.
She was, but it wasn't a house.
Yeah. But even still, she's not like she's been on the season for like 10 years, and for the first time ever, she's not without a ride or die. Like they just became friends at the beginning of last season. So
yeah, I don't know
what Kayla's like bouncing off, and the fact that even like later in the episode we see her like turn to Corey of all people. She needs to start like branching out and actually becoming friends with people, because that's how you avoid becoming a perennial pawn or someone that's tossed into eliminations over and over again.
Literally, my second note is how do you expect to win without friends?
Yeah.
Regarding Kayla.
And I think Edward Morris actually gave a good comp. He said that as Kayla's basically what Kara was in her early seasons, someone who's a loner, like a decent competitor, and is just always tossed in. And it's just hopefully over time she'll build up friendships, but hopefully it doesn't also take her like 9 or 10 seasons to do so.
Yeah, hopefully not for her sake. She is a really good competitor. I do appreciate that about her.
No, she is. She is. And that's why she can withstand this.
I did not like her in a real world season, but she's definitely grown on me during the challenge.
Yeah, I think her personality is more made for this show. We see the worst of her on the real world when she was so caught up with Dion, who I also can't believe has not been on the show, but like all that other stuff. This is the better side of Kayla.
Dion.
So we
Dion
see
Dion McCarney.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I mean, he's living in the woods somewhere, so I don't see why he can't just wander onto a season. He's probably like in the backwoods.
Yeah, he'd be better than some of these Are You the One schlubs like Derek H.
The worst. I actually did like a running tally. I think he might be the worst person that's ever appeared on any reality show of all time. He loses first in everything he does.
Does he?
Yeah, I mean, he was the mastermind of the Only House to Lose Are You the One. He was first out on Second Chances. He was first out now, and he lost his opening match to get back in the house. He loses everything.
Now, here's a question. He was the mastermind of an Are You the One season?
He like came up with the final formula to try to get it right, and he was wrong.
Why would anybody trust this guy?
I don't know. I mean, Tori supposedly does, and that's probably not going to go very well.
What's up with those two? Is this a real relationship?
I don't think so. I'm all in on the conspiracy theory. It's fake. I mean, it's already done. We can get to the Twitter segment with Derek. He's already blasting off about Tori. It's a little spoiler, so I'll save it for the end. But yeah, I mean, I think they're a kapuzzo, and not in like a ever were a thing sort of way.
All right, good. Because I can't stand those two.
Yeah. But someone who...
Did you see who else is done?
Yes, that's another big segment. I was also going to say that, but we can discuss it now. Yeah, another big breakup, as opposed to the one that I dropped at the end of, was it last week's episode, where I talked about how Tori and Brad are done? Also done are Nicole and Laurel. So who knew that love can't really last?
It's crazy.
Yeah.
I can't believe true love doesn't last.
I don't know if we've really gotten details about Laurel and Nicole. I think they just like what just drifted apart basically, and they realized like
one's in Staten Island, one's in Montana.
Yeah. So we'll see. So maybe Carl will swoop in now that Nicole's free and they can rekindle their thing.
I'm sure Nicole already slid into the DMs.
X's, what would that be? 3? Should we book Nicole and Laurel as a pair?
Ugh, yeah.
I mean they'll take the other two girls that were a pair that one time. I can never remember these people's names. I'm the worst name person. But we already had one. So I think Nicole and Laurel. There we go. X's 3.
Now, here's a question. If they're doing X's 3, aren't they going to be a 2-female team then?
Yeah. I mean, they did that one time for the first X's.
Yeah. They did that with Rachel Robinson.
Yeah. Rachel. Yeah. I always forget her. Yeah. But they had them. I mean, Laurel and Nicole can go toe-to-toe with most guys in certain competitions. So I think they could actually do pretty well.
Yeah, they definitely could.
So we also see the aftermath of Jemmy's decision this week. She's totally standing by her decision, but we have Marie trying to like get back into the good gracious. I still don't really understand how
like where this Marie and Jenna friendship that was supposedly like, what do we supposed to know that they were super close and she's supposed to feel bad about losing Jenna in this situation?
No, I never knew they were super close. I mean, they both live in New York, so I, you know, makes sense, but.
I mean, I don't know what Marie expected when she kept pitching, we got to break up Jenna and Kayla. We got to break up Jenna and Kayla. I mean, the best way to do that is to have them go against each other. So what did she like expect this plan to come out as?
Maybe she thought nobody would actually take her seriously and listen to her. I don't know. But.
I guess so. But yeah, I mean, she's got to be willing to deal with the consequences of tossing in friends. I mean, it's a fine move. I don't think it's even a bad move for her. I mean, Jenna and Kayla are both top competitors, but. I mean, stand by. Don't be wishy-washy. That's when you get in trouble.
Here's my theory. Do you think Marie was actually jealous of Kayla? And like her friendship with Jenna?
It's possible that she saw like her being replaced in like a potential duo. Yeah, I mean, if she really thinks she was that close with Jenna, it didn't seem for us that Jenna seemed that close to Marie. So yeah, that could definitely be a possibility.
I only ask that because Marie apparently like thought that Kayla and Jenna aren't friends like at all. And that just seemed like a weird comment to me. It seems pretty clear that those two are close over the past two seasons and off season.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. I mean, it's every viewer knows Jenna and Kayla are close. No one knew Marie and Jenna were close. So that's totally a possibility that she wanted to try to cut Kayla so she can go back to being the number one. But obviously now the blood is on her hands. So I don't think Jenna's really going to be welcoming Marie back with open arms.
No, and I don't even get the move. Why not just pair up with those? You have a pair in front of you.
Yeah.
A strong pair. Always.
So we briefly shift to the challenge before we get like a Lost style flashback. So we see what the challenge is going to be, and then TJ drops the bomb. Well, it doesn't really matter because you guys aren't playing. And then we get, you know, the boat with the angry faces, the mean mugging of all the redemption people coming back to compete.
TJ is loving all these twists. Thank God. This is this might be a Hall of Fame season out of TJ.
Yeah, I mean, as much as TJ loves like the trivia and stuff like that, I think he loves dropping bombshells on the cast more. He loves seeing like the shock and the awe and everything that goes with it. He embraces it. He embraces it.
We need like a bombshell with trivia, like, you know, the loser of trivia is out of the game.
Yeah,
we need to combine two into one super TJ reaction face.
Yeah, TJ can launch someone off a platform and that ends with them being out of the game. That's like the ultimate TJ move.
Yeah.
So we go all the way back to when Jenna and Tony go into the house and, you know, they give everyone their little recap and Tony gets a recap about how Shane is no longer in the redemption house because he and Simone got into a fight.
Yeah, I love how shocked Tony is that Shane would put hands on a girl.
Yeah, I was hoping we were going to see his reaction. I don't know if they were going to skip past it. I'm glad we got to see Tony's reaction and give him a confessional about how, you know, Shane's an idiot. It doesn't really jive with what Tony and Shane have been saying on Twitter afterwards, but at least in the moment, Tony was like, oh, he's an idiot.
I have to say, do you think that Shane actually put hands on Simone?
I would believe any story that started to come out of that night, because I have no semblance of an idea what happened.
Because it was very, even when the girls told Tony what happened, they were still very vague. They said that he did enough to get kicked off the show.
Yeah. I mean, like, why? It's true. Why wouldn't they say exactly what he did? And then, like, I'm sure he had to ask what he did. I don't think Tony would accept he did enough to get kicked off the show as an answer.
Yeah, like, I'm sure Shane did something that deserved him to get kicked off the show, but. At least with Shane, we also saw all the marks on his face as well. So we know Simone definitely attacked him.
Right. And it's just crazy that, you know, these people on a reality shows, they have cameras on them 24/7. And then like for what? The 1 hour of this entire filming series when there's no cameras, Simone and Shane get in this like bloodbath fight. Like that's quite the convenience timing.
You know, I don't remember who, but I saw somewhere that somebody was in the house and they were talking about how the cameras missed a lot of stuff this year. Like
really?
A lot of fights, yeah.
Well,
the cameras
goes,
were down a bit more than you thought.
I guess it kind of goes back to the notion of, you know, they tried to rush this season to get it out, and maybe, you know, they had the CT passport situation. Maybe they didn't have enough cameramen in the house or the cameras set up. You know, maybe it takes some time to get prepared and get the house fully situated before you start launching into a new season there, challenge.
Just put up cameras in every room. How difficult is that? Or do we have the camera person from The Departed running this department? I don't know, camera, in the back. Like,
we haven't had that like corner camera that catches like you know, the Zach conversation and the Bananas conversation of the past few seasons that's gotten them in hot water. Everything's kind of just been like the actual cameras. So maybe they didn't have the funds to set those up.
Where's the secret camera catching the CT bird hookup?
Yeah, we need all the cameras to catch all the fights and drama, because if you don't have that, then we're left with just the full challenge, which isn't really what anyone wants.
Definitely not me.
So TJ gets the full rundown of who everyone is gunning for should they come back. And I mean, no surprise, it's everyone who was directly eliminated by someone. That's who they're targeting. So,
except for LaToya, who apparently is just a follower of Amanda.
Right. But I mean,
she missed a big opportunity there.
Who should LaToya have said?
Cara Maria, try and get a rival season with her going.
It's not a bad idea. It's not a bad idea. But yeah, I mean, everyone, like, Corey's name popped up, and, you know, Amanda's name, Amanda said Camilla, no surprise. Nelson's name popped up and all that stuff. So all the names you would expect were the ones that were popped up as people who would be targeted. And TJ also informs them that, like, pretty much I think everyone expected, only one guy and one girl are coming back, as opposed to what Devin thought from last year. So what did you make of... Like, did you think there was any possibility that they were going to be competing as a team to get back into the house?
No, it made no sense. How could they compete as a team? I never understood that. Devin is just an idiot.
Yeah, the one suggestion that actually Amanda tossed out on Twitter, which I would need to do, I don't think I'm in on it, but it is an interesting idea. She suggested, her exact tweet was, it's ridiculous that they made us go against each other and not let us pick a player in the main house and battle for their spot.
How is that ridiculous? You're out, they're not. Why should you get to face them?
Yeah, I mean, I'm totally with you. I'm if they're going to do this redemption thing, that's fine to have one person from each come back. Hopefully they don't. We'll see if they come back with another redemption, but it would be kind of bush league to be like, all right, these eight people that were eliminated, now you all have to battle individually against them. That, I mean, it's Dirty 30, but that's just like a weird setup for a redemption style house.
No, this makes perfect sense. The only thing I question is, did they hold back on the redemption challenge a week later because of Simone and Shane going home?
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously a good question, because the way this challenge was set up, it was tournament style. And, you know, based on the way the bracket set up, you're going to want to have eight. Or if you're not going to have eight, you're going to need 16 to make like a bracket fully work, unless you're going to start giving people buys in like these tournaments, which I can't see happening. So unless they were going to wait another like, you know, month or two to do this, it seemed like this was delayed with the Simone and Shane elimination. That's the only, or they just completely audible to what the challenge format was going to be.
Yeah. The only other thing, like you said, a buy is that Jenna and Tony would have faced the winner of that bracket. They don't even have to square off.
I mean, they also, which is what I thought the challenge was going to be set up as when they were starting to describe it. I thought they would just have everyone on. So basically the challenge, just to like lay it out, was called Man Overboard, I believe. And it was head to head style. There were one guy and a guy, a girl. And you just had to knock someone off of a big rotating, you know, circle that was above the water. And the first one to fall in to the water loses. So I thought what they were going to do, they were just going to have everyone all like the four guys up there, and it'd just be like a last man standing type thing. That's where I thought they were going. I didn't realize they were going to do a bracket style. Would you prefer that, or did you like the bracket?
Nah, I liked the 1v1. I feel like with the if all four of them are up there, it's way too easy to like target Darrell and Jenna. It's a big disadvantage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's fair. What I actually did like the way this challenge was set up, but the execution of it was left too much to be desired, with basically everyone except for Jenna coming down to like whose foot was falling the fastest. So what did you make of actually the execution of this challenge?
I like the challenge, honestly. I get a better strategy if you don't want to fall in with your opponent.
Yeah, I guess so. It just felt like a little too fluky that it seemed like everyone would be falling in, and it was just a matter of who like could curl up in a ball the best, as opposed to who was actually the one knocking the other people out.
I don't know. Learn something about physics and try and keep your body above, keep at a, you know, falling through gravity at a faster or slower rate. I don't know.
Yeah. So, but, I mean, just the run through the quick opening round battles. It was Darrell versus Devin. LaToya versus Amanda, Tony versus Derek, Brianna versus Jenna. Were there any big surprises for you that led to Jenna versus Amanda and Tony versus Darrell?
No, not really. I mean, Darrell handedly won. And you call them quick battles, but MTV stretched that out forever, it felt like.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Usually we get a quick synopsis of a challenge, and sometimes you're kind of left wanting more about what actually happened. Yeah, we got every bit of this challenge.
I have to say, I don't know how anybody watches a show live with commercials.
Yeah, I usually, if I'm home and I can, just so I can live tweet it and stuff like that, I can. But I do enjoy it much more normally when I'm able to just rip through these commercials. It is a lot. It's very short segments with a lot of commercials. And I think the commercial breaks are shorter themselves, just so they can have more of them. Because, I mean, I think these episodes are still like 40, 42 minutes. But yeah, the way they break it up is tough.
Yeah, luckily as a guest with no Twitter followers, I don't have to worry about live tweeting anything. I could, but I choose not to. I have to say, this is like the first time I watched, because my DVR screwed up this week. I had to watch it on demand, and it was, I was checking out way too hard this week.
Yeah, it's always
having commercials was killer.
It's the phone test. How often do you look at your phone when during the show? And the challenge doesn't always be, they usually doing the house drama and stuff. I can usually be pretty fixated when, you know, we're seeing the fifth battle of people on a floating platoon or whatever. Yeah, it gets a little much. What did you make of the fact that Nelson was just completely openly rooting for Amanda? I know they're close, but didn't Nelson and LaToya have a thing last season?
I wrote that down too. Yeah, like, Amanda is his ride or die, and LaToya is just some girl that he slept with one season.
Like, I'm cool. Yeah, like, I'm cool with him rooting for Amanda, but shouldn't there have been like a little bit of like a, yeah, you know, me and LaToya had a connection last season, but, you know, me and Amanda are much closer, so I got to pull for my girl Amanda. It was just like, no, 1,000%, let's go, Amanda, go to kill LaToya. It was very weird.
Yeah, Nelson, not the best gameplay by him there for future seasons. I'd be pretty annoyed if I were LaToya.
So we had, obviously, Darrell versus Tony, and Tony so Tony pulled out the win.
Whoa, you are underselling that. The upset win.
It was a very, I mean, I was going to get to that, but the more bigger point I was leading to was Ricky Cavalier as his Tony returning over Devin or Darrell, the most disappointing comeback for the show.
Hell no. Tony brings the drama, the drunk drama. Tony's the best.
I'm fine with Tony coming back if this is like a better version of Tony. I think I would have preferred Devin or Darrell, honestly, over him. I think Darrell adds like a cool, like, the competitiveness aspect to him. And Devin, I think Devin really got shortchanged this season. I think he could have done super well this year with the way this format was. I think he could have done well, and it's a shame he kind of just got screwed with the opening salvo.
Why do you think Devin would have done well? He can't beat anyone.
I think he could have avoided being tossed in a lot. I think with the way this was going down, with like Corey targeting the big guys, and then the big guys turning around and targeting him and Nelson, I think there was a path for Devin to kind of keep sliding by and pinning these people against each other. And I think he could have gone pretty far.
I don't think so. I think as soon as one of Banana's army goes into a challenge, an elimination, they're just voting in Devin for a layup, personally, at least.
It's possible, but I wish we could have seen Devin. I mean, Devin really had no chance. It was just boom. He was just eliminated right off the bat. So it's a shame that I think Devin will be back. I don't see this being the end for him, but it is a shame. I think this type of format is the best way for him to thrive.
Well, I have to say, also, I'm interested to see the drunk fights that Tony and Nelson get in. I feel like that's going to be great.
Yeah, well, I mean, Tony will probably drunk fight with everyone, so.
Yeah, Darrell would have just icily stared at Corey all season.
Well, probably. So, but yeah, you mentioned it. So, Tony, this was probably the first thing he's done well in his challenge.
The only
career.
Thing he's
yeah,
done
the
well.
Only thing. I mean, this was, like, as you said, it was a big upset for Tony to knock out Darrell. Obviously, I can't imagine anyone else actually being disappointed that Darrell is out. So, for them, they're thrilled that Tony's in, especially for the Bananas crews, because they know Tony's a ride or die for them. So, even though, like, Tony's, you know, on Banana's side and Darrell maybe isn't, as much as Corey and that crew probably are sad that one of Banana's guys is back, I don't think they're going to be too upset that Darrell is actually out.
Well, I think Corey is definitely, this worked out perfectly for Corey. Sucks for Nelson, though.
Right. Yeah, I mean, for Corey, absolutely, with the way Darrell was going to target right after him. But yeah, I mean, even for Nelson, though, I think he's fine with Tony coming back because it makes Darrell not in the game, and he'd much rather go up against Tony in elimination than Darrell.
Yeah, but I don't think my whole thing is why would Darrell ever really go after Nelson?
He might not go after him, but they're just the way this format is set up. They could just be pitted against each other with one and be voted in and then turn around in the draw and then the other one gets thrown in. We're going to have some weird matchups sometimes here.
No, I mean, yeah. So it's just more of a question of would you rather end up on the off chance facing Darrell or would you rather actively have Tony out there gunning for you?
Right. I think that that's the question. I think I would probably rather not have someone gunning for me in the house.
Yeah.
So.
But I guess that's understandable. I have to say, though, kudos to MTV. I thought for sure Darrell was coming back the way they had been building up that Corey versus Darrell storyline.
Yeah, and I thought for sure that Amanda was coming back the way they kept showing the Camilla versus Amanda storyline. I thought this would be it for Jenna, the way they were building up, you know, Kayla being alone in the house, that she had to do this on her own. I didn't think by the end of the episode they would be reunited again.
Yeah, especially after last week where MTV basically told you what was going to happen in the first 5 minutes of the episode.
Yeah, so, you know, we shit on MTV this time. I think they did well. I think, yeah, I was surprised on both ends the way it turned out. So I think it definitely adds stuff with Jenna back. I think seeing a scorn Jenna is a side of Jenna we've never really seen before. So I'm actually excited to see how this version of Jenna plays out.
This is the wake up call Jenna needed.
Yeah. And as someone who no one's going to want to go up against in elimination, I think the girls in the house could be in for a reckoning with Jenna this time around. I think she can go very far now.
Jenna sort of reminds me of the male Leroy in that, like, everyone likes her and she plays super nice, great competitor, but she doesn't have that mean bone in her body. And hopefully this means she can actually get at it.
Yeah, I mean, it took Leroy a while I'm not even sure if he's fully had the strategy part click, but it took him a while to even start to grasp it. So if Jenna can start to get that part of the game down and, you know, she has, I mean, her and Kayla, again, are very strong competitors. The only reason why one of them was out because they went up against each other. You know, they're all going up against Jemmy or some of these other girls in the house, other than really Kara or Tori. I think they can go very far.
Did you catch the bananas dig at Sarah again?
Yes. So what was it? He was asked to, confessionally just brought up the fact that he would, like, bet all of Sarah, like the $275,000 of Sarah's money.
Yeah. On Darrell versus Devin. Cold-blooded. So,
Are you okay with him continually to bring it up? Like, is this his way of just reminding everyone that he is the dirtiest of the dirty?
I mean, it's a dick move, but isn't that why I like bananas? Because he's a dick.
Yeah. I'm cool with that. If the show itself is going to keep harping on it every chance again in any clip show or anything they do, they always, like, that's almost, I think that may have now surpassed the bananas backpack as the clip they show the most, just because it's got the recency factor and it's just like the end of the game with the win. So I have no problem with him continually to bring it up.
I have a question for you.
Go for it.
How do you think bananas are doing a game like Big Brother?
I have always been curious to see, you know, we've had a lot of crossover with other people going on, other reality show that's going on, other shows. I would love to see an MTV person go on either Survivor or Big Brother. I don't think he would do that well because I think he might actually do better than you think, because if people don't know who he is, I think he could be likable until you find out who he actually is, and then everyone will start to hate him. But if he goes in with not many people knowing who Johnny Bananas is, you know, he's obviously going to be a good competitor. And I think if he can keep his personality toned down a little bit, and especially in the beginning game, he could do pretty well.
The only reason I ask, because I've been thinking more and more that Paul from Big Brother this season is a lot like Bananas in the challenge. They're very similar.
They are. Yeah. I mean, it's not a bad comparison. I mean, they both have their, like, catchphrases and things they like just keep pushing. And obviously they're both, you know, very good competitors and stuff like that. So it's not a bad comp, really.
Yeah. And I just find it weird that I'm a big fan of Bananas, but not a Paul.
Well, because at least with Bananas, at least in recent years, he's had resistance. And I think that's the big thing with Paul. Is that there's not to go down too big the Big Brother route, but that's why people are hating on Paul. If there was a resistance to the house for Paul, I think it would be a lot. People would be a lot more on his side about, like, oh, watch this guy dominate, but he's not really dominating anyone. So
yeah, sorry about that rabbit hole, peeps.
No
that was
problem.
Just something I've been thinking of.
So it is interesting
that Tony and Jenna are the two that come back, because obviously they were the two that was just, you know, eliminated last week. So it doesn't bode well. I think for Jemmy is the one who is the most hurt by this scenario.
Jemmy is screwed.
Yeah, I think Jemmy is going to be either in the next or the one after elimination. I don't see how she avoids it for like more than a week or two.
She can't. Like, who's really going to have her back after she throws in Jenna when Jenna saved her? Who really is going to trust Jemmy?
Yeah,
I wouldn't.
I don't see it. I think her only chance is her side of the house keeps winning. But even still, then she could easily just be tossed in by the double cross. And, you know, Jemmy even said it herself, the strength of her game is not in an elimination. So if she goes in, there is a very good chance that she goes home. And, you know, this Redemption House twist is going to absolutely murder her.
Yeah, I'm not even sure she has a side of the house.
Yeah, if Jemmy becomes public enemy number one, I could see, you know, everyone who was with her last time around kind of distancing themselves just to be like, oh, no, this was Jemmy's idea. She did it. We'll toss her to the wolves.
Which is funny because she was throwing everyone under the bus to Jenna that it wasn't her idea and everyone wanted to do it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So we'll have to see how it turns to for Jemmy, but. I mean, she's sticking to her plan. I think she was saying that people are still going to target Kayla. And, you know, I mean, that's good on them. But if Kayla and Jenna get power, which is very likely, I think it's going to be bad news for her. And then can we see Kayla turning, as I mentioned before, turning to Corey of all people, being like a sympathetic ear, which, you know, that's not going to end well for her.
No, it's definitely not going to end well for her.
So, I mean, that's...
It's interesting, though. Corey kind of seems to be on good terms with all his exes right now.
Yeah, you know, Corey faced an onslaught in the beginning and was able to withstand it. I think he's still facing the onslaught from maybe the more dangerous part of the fact that, you know, the Bananas crew is all still gunning after him, and those are the people that would actually be the ones to be eliminating him. But if he can turn around, you know, Kayla and Anissa and some of these other girls that were clearly gunning for him, and now he's obviously, I think he's got Camilla on his side, maybe Corey can turn this around and gather a little army of himself.
I'm team Corey all the way this season.
I mean, I'm in on him going after the big guns. I think it adds fun. It's boring when they want to just play it safe the whole way. I don't think it's going to end well for him at all. I would be stunned if he's not out in a few weeks just based on the way he's going for it. But I respect it. Good for him.
Yeah, this is great for his rep, I have to say.
Yeah, I mean, I can see in a season or two, like, him and Bananas being like, all right, you know, I respect you as a competitor now maybe we can work together. Like, I could see that arc for Corey going forward. But for now, I think it's going to end very badly.
Yeah, I mean, it almost always ended badly for Wes, and Corey is the new Wes, basically. Yep.
So, I mean, that, let's see, any other questions PJ Gohan says, rank the eliminated guys and girls for most likely. So besides rankings, who of the people that went home do you most want to see come back? Between, we got Devin, Derek, and Darrell for the guys, Amanda, LaToya, and Brianna for the girls.
Darrell and Amanda, easy question. Amanda, yeah. I mean, I will say, I'm definitely happy that the Amanda Camilla storyline is done this season. Same thing with the Derek H and Tori storyline. I was too much of that, but definitely those two could come back anytime. Yeah,
those are the two big stars that should and almost definitely will be back.
Plus, I kind of feel bad for Amanda. Jenna kicked the shit out of her literally during that elimination.
Yep. Yeah. Brianna, this is not I've said before, I know that would mean that she has to, I think her, what was her perfect match, Brandon? Like, I don't know if MTV would ever take him back, but her mission should be the Are You the One Second Chances show. That's where she could do well. The challenge is not meant for her. It's not going to go well.
No.
So we have a little more Twitter drama. We discussed, obviously, the Laurel and Nicole breakup. A couple other things that popped up. Someone tweeted about Kayla, about leaving Kayla alone, and Kara responded, literally no one said or did anything to her. Her friend came back and she's pouting and crying. WTF. So Kara dropping the hate.
Did you see, I think this is Kayla's tweet, how she said she has a new 3-minute ab workout. Hope she doesn't get sued this week.
The whole the gym, personal gym drama of the challenge is wild, that these people think they can like have trademarks for fitness classes.
I love it. Don't forget, Corey is going to be a trainer for some sort of a professional team.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, yeah, everyone's looking to MTV for their NFL fitness programs. So.
Yeah.
Brianna tweeted to Veronica. She said, Veronica, you follow me on Twitter, but I don't follow you, yet you don't know my name. Confused. And Veronica responded with, yep, I do. Shane took care of all my social while I was gone and followed almost everyone on the cast while I was gone. And then Shane confirmed it and said he did it just to annoy Veronica. So
Shane from last year, right?
Yeah, Shane from last year.
Yeah. See, we should have brought Shane back. Him and Veronica together, that would have been dirty.
Amanda, just in case you are wondering, definitely does still hate Camilla. She tweeted, LOL, Camilla looks like a fucking fool after I lost. Like, chill out, bitch. I know you were scared AF. Thanks for sticking up for me, Nelson. So, shocker, that's rivalry is not going away.
That's I can't wait for that rivals season.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that coming next season or the season after that. Either that or an X's. We've had a couple seasons off of like those types of themes, so that's usually one too many for MTV. I've got nothing else. I mean, let me give a quick shout out to our 5-star reviewers from last week. We have Ball. This is a hell of a name. Ball Bag Swinger. I gotta read what it's written. Super Nikki 13. And I think this, I don't know if we give these two a shout out. I can't remember the time, but Gypsy Paul and iPaul 07. Shout out to you guys. You can leave comments or interviews at robswebsite.com/challenge iTunes. So looking forward to the rest of the season. Do you think Redemption House is coming back? Or is this a one-time thing?
God, I hope not. We wasted way too much time on the Redemption House just for it to mean nothing since Tony and Jen are the ones back in.
I mean, now that, you know, the Redemption House ended, like the way the timing of this, we are reset. Maybe we could start to get a few episodes in a row, possibly, of, you know, challenge elimination, challenge elimination, challenge elimination. I'm not holding my breath, but we are set up that maybe we can get a few normal episodes here coming up.
How many episodes in a row without a 2-week continued?
I mean, I consider basically any episode that doesn't end with like a regular format a 2-week continued. And I guess this one technically isn't a 2-week continued, and last week kind of wasn't a 2-week continued either. So I guess that's 2 in a row. And I think the first 3 were all kind of mismatched. So
that's how you build a streak.
Yeah, it's one at a time.
It's been done before on TV.
one episode of a not to be continued at a time, but. Yeah, I mean, that's basically it. As we mentioned, a lot of this episode took place with the Redemption Challenge, so there wasn't too much drama or anything like that. So, where can people follow you, Mr. Dane?
I don't know. DanerSun25, I think, on Twitter. Very. I think.
You could follow me at CullenBryan_. I believe Allie will be back next week, so we'll do that again for episode 6. Until then... have a good one.